Tampa Bay Lightning are once again Stanley Cup champions and a press conference for the ages. Welcome to Hockey Central. Jeff Merrick, Anthony Stewart, and Justin Bourne. Good afternoon. Dave Randorf, play-by-play voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning, will join us here in about 10 minutes. Lots to get to from what happened last night, and plenty of time to speculate on what is next, both for the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Montreal Canadiens. And we will get to the Kucherov presser. Don't worry, that one's going nowhere, and you'll hear plenty about it probably until Tampa and Montreal hook up next season when they find themselves back in the same division again. Stewie, we'll start with you. Thoughts on last night's win by the Tampa Bay Lightning before we get into all the extracurricular stuff. What did you make of the game last night?
Well, I'm not sure if they have master classes in hockey, but that was a master class by the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they played their system to a T. In that third period, Montreal Canadiens, they could not even get through the neutral zone, only seven shots, and with their lives on the line, could not get anything done. So that just shows to the system that John Cooper has this team playing. So they definitely earned it. A lot of people didn't think this series was going to go to the distance, and they were right. The Tampa Bay Lightning were just a little bit too much powerful, too much depth for this Montreal Canadiens team. And it wasn't even the big guns that really had to step up this series. It was these depth guys. And you look at the depth guys, the Josephs, the Goudreaus, the Colemans, the Rutas, all these guys had big moments throughout the series. And that's the making of a Stanley Cup dynasty type team. So I know they're going to have some problems going forward, but they got to relish in this victory. They definitely earned it. They're the best team in the 100%. National Hockey League.
Yeah, they were great. My bad, by the way. Borny's not with us today. It's tough when we're all doing radio shows remotely, but there we are. So it's me and Stewie for the next 60. Dave Randorf joining us in about 10 minutes' time to comment on last night. You know what? I'm glad you mentioned the depth guys on this Tampa team, because to me, the story coming out of, and I know, listen, everyone's going to be like, okay, yeah, you're going to talk about Tampa depth, but they're over the salary cap, so what does that really mean? To me, the story of the Tampa Bay Lightning was just how deep they were. And, you know, we talked about Matthew Joseph the last couple of days, and, you know, we went out of our way, Stewie, to make the point that on just about any other team in the NHL, this guy is a full-timer. But on Tampa, you know, it takes a significant injury to Alex Killorn for him to get in the lineup. That'll probably change next season. You talked about some of the guys, you know, Jan Ruda as a name that comes to mind. You mentioned Matthew Joseph. Ross Colton scores a Stanley Cup winning goal. To me, the one guy, because we all expect Kucherov to be Kucherov, Vasilevskiy, Stamkos, Point, all those guys, Cirelli. We all know what they're about. You're looking for players who emerge, who sort of jump out and show you something that you never thought they had in them, and they become more of your hockey conversation. I don't know, Stewie. To me, that guy might have been Eric Chernak. Like, I know Ruda had a really good one, and, you know, loved to see the Matthew Joseph story, and Ross Colton was great. But to me, Eric Chernak this year specifically, and these playoffs specifically, I thought he was outstanding. And I know it's always easier, perhaps, when you're, you know, surrounded by defensemen like Hedman and McDonough and Sergachev, et cetera. But I thought Chernak was excellent. You know, I really did.
Absolutely. And I just heard Mike Fuda on the Good Show saying how they let him go. How do you let this guy go? Second rounder, big, strong guy, 6'3". And he plays mean as well. And typically, and again, this might sound a little bit biased or whatever it is, you know, typically with the European players, you know, me as a player, I try to get the advantage with them, intimidate them, give them a little shot to the face because, you know, typically in Europe, it's not as physical. There's no fighting in most of the leagues over there. This guy did not back down from one battle. And just to see him get dragged into the fight, that just shows how great John Cooper had this team buying in. And, you know, he played some good hockey, you know, definitely this full season, but definitely the playoffs as well.
Yeah, like I look at Tampa and I say, okay, where's the weakness? Like, where is the spot that where's the spot that you can exploit? And you go right through this lineup and you say to yourself, you know, provided they're healthy, but even if they're not, because there's a lot of guys that can jump in.
Backup goaltender.
You know, guys, we got to get to McElhinney. That's our only chance. We got to get the 10 million guy out of there, and we got to get to McElhinney. I mean, the question becomes, when you look at the salary cap era, and there are some great teams that come to mind, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Chicago Blackhawks, Los Angeles Kings won a pair of cups as well. When you look at the salary cap era and you look at this team, obviously in the conversation for one of the best teams of this generation, And I would ask the question, are they the best team of the salary cap era? Given that, man, good luck finding a weak spot in this lineup.
Yeah, and again, I'd be worried about this team going forward, but just keep in mind all the guys that they promoted from the Syracuse roster and all the guys that had to go pay their dues in the minors, and they come up and have great roles. And then we were looking at the guys. You know, there's a guy coming up, Barboulet, who's going to come in and step in next year, probably get an opportunity and do, you know, and do well, because they just keep plugging these holes in, plugging guys in, give them an opportunity, and they're going to make the most of it. Look at Matthew Joseph. He had 12 goals this year in the regular season in 56 games. That's over 20 goals in a 82-game season. You know, he didn't play the whole playoffs, most of the playoffs, right? So everyone thinks this is the end of the dynasty, but I could see them being highly competitive, and I would not be surprised if they were on top of the Atlantic Division next year, just based on the fact that they're plugging in these young guys, they're drafting, developing, and you know, doing it from within.
Still going to have Hedman, still going to have Point, still going to have Kucherov, still going to have Vasilevsky, to your point.
Johnson? Graduating.
What's that? No, I think, no, I can't see Tyler Johnson. That's a great question. That's, I mean, they love him there. I mean, so many different times. I mean, there have been teams that have been, you know, trying to get Alex Killorn. I remember a couple of years ago at the draft, the whole talk was, oh yeah, the Buffalo Sabres are getting Alex Killorn. Alex Killorn is going to be a Buffalo Sabre. They're going to try to do whatever they can to hang on to him. But I think Tyler Johnson's gone. And I, you know what probably helps that process on along as well is his performance in the playoffs. Like, not just what he did on the ice, and he was real good, and he could play spot duty, he could play regular shift, all of it. But just the way that in a challenging season where he was, you know, waived, and the discussion is you got to move him, the contract's no good, it's holding him back, it's holding the team back. He was a thorough pro. Like, he was a total pro all season long, Stewie. And you might look at that and say, well, listen, these guys are highly compensated, that's how you have to behave. These are still human beings too. Like, he heard it all, he felt it all, he saw it all, and at the end of it, he was a total pro who showed up to play and performed. I think everyone in the NHL has a ton of respect for Tyler Johnson and what he went through this year and how he performed by the end.
Yeah, and, you know, I had an ego. I was at a $900,000 cap hit, and I got waived, and I got scratched. I'm sitting there crying, doing the Denny Lemieux, get me out of here. But that just shows the difference between a club and a team and a Stanley Cup contending team, right? No one is bigger than the team. And he was a consummate pro the whole entire season. But can we talk about Killorn? Was it a broken tibia or fibula? What was it?
Yeah, fibula.
It was and you're trying to come back?
Broken fibula, had surgery, put in a rod.
RoboCop? Who's their surgeon? RoboCop trying to get these guys? And that just shows. And for guys now, you know, you got a guy out with a broken fibula, and you're still going down and blocking shots, still putting your body in front, sacrificing for the team. I'm telling you, I saw the cup being raised last night, and I was jealous. I was literally jealous, saying, I wish I blocked that Ovi shot. I wish I could grow a beard. And that's only a couple times when I have regrets in my career, and that's when the cup is raised. And it just shows what type of player it takes to win that cup.
Andre Vasilevsky wins the Conn Smythe. I mean, you could have made the case for a couple of players, most notably Nikita Kucherov, and we'll get to him in a couple of moments. But it probably, at the end of it, I mean, listen, Braden Point had a great playoffs as well, but by the end, it really did come down to Kucherov and Andre Vasilevsky. And once again, clutch moment, clutch game, coming off a loss. This guy pitches a shutout, and the Tampa Bay Lightning win. Kucherov went out of his way at his presser to talk about the Vezina Trophy and how he's best in the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Tough not to agree with him when you look at the body of work that Andre Vasilevsky has put in front of us here for how many years, and most recently the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, and I think when you're such a deep team, you don't really get the credit you deserve. And he made a good point saying if he was in a different market, he'd get a lot more respect. And I honestly believe that too. And, you know, the fact that John Cooper's not Coach of the Year, or, you know, their GM's winning GM of the year, this team is built.
That's a big one. Yeah. Hang on. Pause on that for one. Sorry, Stewie, I hate to cut you off, but pause on that because that's a great point. Mm-hmm. That is an excellent point. There are many people that can't figure out, and maybe it's just because they don't like how the salary cap thing played out. There are a lot of people that can't believe that Julien Brisebois did not win General Manager of the Year.
He should have won it. Oh,
I don't. I'm not disagreeing. Like, this is a team that, like, we all know about the tax advantages of Tampa. I get that. They use that to their advantage. You know, how they use, you know, you mentioned Syracuse, how they do that, how they construct the roster, how they didn't, you know, panic when, you know, when they had their initial salary cap crunch last year. They waited. They used their time. They were calm. They were very calculated. Some will say they were ruthless about how they ran their team. I don't know, man. Like, you can make a hell of a case for Julien Brisebois winning GM of the Year. And there are some that say, like, look, the GM of the Year shouldn't be a vote. Whoever wins the Stanley Cup, that general manager is the GM of the Year, because that's the goal. But I think you're bang on about Brisebois and GM of the Year. I'm with you.
Absolutely. And it's not necessarily about the moves that you make. It's sometimes the moves you don't make, right? And they brought in Coleman and Goodrow. But remember, those guys had term. And we're going back to Goodrow. Coleman was pretty highly sought after, but not necessarily Goodrow, right? And then you guys like Yanni Gord, promoted from the East Coast Hockey League. Pat Maroon, after he won the Cup in St. Louis, he came back and signed a team-friendly deal and signed another team-friendly deal. So just to get these guys to buy in and you know, sacrifice some money for winning, that's part of it, of being a Stanley Cup contender as well.
And someone that was there to document all of it is our good friend Dave Randorf, Tampa Bay Lightning play-by-play voice. Dave, how are you today? Have you slept?
If I sound a little rough, my voice is a little scratchy. I've not been up this late in a while, but yeah. It was quite the to have a kind of behind the ropes, be behind the scenes last night for a Stanley Cup celebration was a lot of fun, and it was a great, great night. And you know what? Listen, I'm certainly thrilled for the fans around here, but I think it wasn't it great from where you guys were sitting to watch a Cup won on home ice? I mean, wasn't it?
Yes.
That is only the fourth time in the last 14 Cups that has been hoisted at home. And I know I used to, like, think about the Pittsburgh Penguins, those back-to-back Cups, both won on the road. And I don't know, it's a bit of a hollow moment somewhat. I still watch every year and love every moment when the captain, you know, raises it for the first time, but it wasn't it nice last night, guys, to see that happen with Steven Stamkos doing it in front of that crowd?
Yeah, it was fantastic, Dave. Stewie and I were just trying to figure out what's the story of this Tampa Bay Lightning team? And for me, it is just how deep they are. And we use the example of Matthew Joseph. And you can say this a lot about the guys that came up from Syracuse and, you know, were developed with that, you know, that great coaching staff, you know, Benoit Grue and Eric Vailleux and Joe Bouchard, like all the great work that they've done there to graduate players to the Tampa Bay Lightning. To me, the story is the depth. Like, at every single position, Dave, this team is deep. I know it's not staying together. No one expects it to. But to me, the story of Tampa this year was how ruthless and deep this squad was.
Yeah, the depth really, could not be measured or could not be met, by any opponent that they had. It was just a matter of them all kind of coming together and being there in the moments they needed to be. But, you know, I was reminded of that as I was watching the Cup handed from Lightning player to Lightning player. And you're just reminded, like, Braden Point didn't get the Cup till like 10th or 11th guy. Yeah. And every guy who got handed the Cup, you remember, oh, yeah, I remember he did that. I remember this. And you want to talk about depth. I mean, the only goal that is scored last night is set up by David Savard, a trade acquisition, and scored by a guy who was a fourth-round draft pick who didn't play his first game until, late February. He scored on his first shot on goal in the NHL, Ross Colton. He's a fourth-round pick. Went to University of Vermont, the alma mater of Martin St. Louis. I mean, are you kidding me? This guy has found money, and he's part of a fourth line. He moves up when Killorn gets hurt. Joseph comes in, the guy that you alluded to, and you know, I could go give you a background, quick little story on every guy and the way they played into the depth narrative you're talking about. But Joseph, if you remember 2 years ago, had a great season as a rookie, 13 goals. Yep. And you thought, wow, geez, they've got another guy, another fourth round pick. And this guy can fly and he can score. And where do they get this guy? Oh my God. And then last year he took a step back. He started the season in the NHL that was sent down and did not play a game in the playoffs, was around the whole time in the bubble, didn't play a game. And then he played two games early in these playoffs, waited, gets in there. And that fourth line with he and Maroon and Tyler Johnson, another great story here, was very important. Johnson scored 2 goals in game 4 or 3, I can't remember, but he played magnificently, and that whole line was great. But, you know, you go up and down this lineup, and sure, we know about the Stars and Kucherov, who I'm sure you're going to talk about today on your show. you know, all that stuff. But there is depth here that just cannot be met. And, you know, the big question is, and all the players knew this, all the players knew that this was probably the last time that, and they spoke openly about it, that they would all be together. And yep. It's funny, you know, I was in the bar where everybody was last night, stayed there for quite a while, and then walked out to take one more picture of the bowl because, the lights were still on and everything like that. And there was Blake Coleman out still talking with some people, still in full gear, still on the ice. And I thought, wow, I wonder if, you know, will he be back? You know, there will be a long list of teams lined up to try to land him. And in my mind, everybody played well last night. It was a very well-played game on both ends. But to me, Barclay Goodrow and Blake Coleman came to play. That Gord line is always good, but those two in particular were beasts. Goodrow had two massive shot blocks at the end of that game. One on Shea Weber with about 6 minutes to go from, 8 feet? And he limped off back out there again, and then he had another shot block with about a minute to go when all you know what was breaking loose. Again, the depth. And I heard you talking about Breezeball. Everybody was saying, wow, you gave up a lot to get Barclay Goodrow and Blake Coleman, first-round picks each. They don't have any first-rounders for the next couple of years.
Two cups. Who
you
cares?
You don't get those two cups, Jeff. You do not win the two cups without those two guys on that line with Gord.
Yeah, 100%. Like, well, you ask any GM, would you rather have two first-round picks or two Stanley Cups? I mean, it's a pretty easy answer.
Exactly.
It's a pretty easy one.
And, but, you know, all of us from the outside go, oh, geez, wow, you're paying a lot. Wow, you know, the trade deadline mania. Yeah, you got sucked in. Well, they got two cups now. And I emphasize, they do not win those Stanley Cups without those two guys and the contributions they made. I don't know what Anthony thinks, but that's what I believe.
Absolutely,
oh,
absolutely.
Stewie's with you.
Yeah, we were saving the Kucherov talk till you came on, Dave. So I wanted to ask, he had an animated press conference, to say the least. And for me, playing with some Russian players, I thought it was pretty mild, to say the least. So do you get all the naysayers right now that have come out speaking against the viral video of him in this press conference?
I haven't really gone back and looked at all that stuff yet. Listen, first of all, I don't disagree with him one bit about the Vasi talk. I'm not going to, you know, there's a way to say it. There's a way to frame your comments, but I do not disagree with him on the Vasi sentiment one iota. I felt the same way, that it was a flat-out joke that he was not the Vezina Trophy winner. And listen, anybody listening, don't think I'm like, oh, Mr. Tampa Bay Lightning now, and I've drank the Kool-Aid. He is the best goalie in the world. Don't at me. Don't even start with me. You know, five consecutive shutouts in closeout games in the playoffs. And I'm well aware that doesn't matter in the Vezina voting, but that's how he plays, night in, night out. And that's where my argument comes from. I watch him play night in, night out. I watch all the mistakes that he covers up when the Lightning were struggling there, because don't forget, they finished third in that division. They had some points in the regular season this year where they scuffled a bit and were loose defensively, and they still won games because Vasi was there night in, night out. And, you know, he rarely had off nights. And anyway, getting back to Cooch, yeah, the Montreal comments may come back to haunt him a little bit. That was a little much, but, you know, I not having been here last year, I certainly heard the stories about how he doesn't say much all season long. And you've seen him in the Zoom interviews where he's basically looking the other way and he's got his hoodie pulled down practically all the way over his face. And then when the cup is won, then his personality comes out. And it certainly came out last night, and he probably had a couple of Bud Lights fueling it too. But, he's a two-time Stanley Cup champion. He led the playoffs in scoring for back-to-back years. First guy to do it since Mario Lemieux. It's a remarkable story in itself, the way he contributed. It started game one with a three-point game and never really let up. You know, he and Point were quieted down a little bit near the end, but still, I'm sure lots will be said and written in the next few days, and certainly when Montreal comes to town or when they go to Montreal.
Yeah, listen, I'm fine. I'm fine with everything that he said. yesterday, even, you know, going after fans, which is, you know, always traditionally been sort of a no-no in the NHL. You don't, you know, don't attack the customers, whether they're your customers or someone else's. You know, I think that there's room under this NHL tent for people like Carey Price, who went and shook the officials' hands yesterday. And I also think mm-hmm. there's room under the tent for, as my buddy Mike texted me this morning, the Russian Ric Flair, who is Nikita Kucherov. Like, honestly, Dave, I think there's room for all of it. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if they're going to have to make a bigger building in Montreal, but is there going to be a hotter ticket next year in the NHL than the first time Tampa visits the Bell Center?
With everybody holding signs up if they win saying, hey, Cooch, how's that for number one BS?
A couple more things.
The T-shirts, I'm sure, are already being printed with that slogan on it.
He's made some people some money. The T-shirt manufacturers are very happy about Nikita Kucherov's press conference last night. You know, one of the things that I don't think that we talk enough about when it comes to Tampa is just how difficult a path they had to get there. Like, Florida was not an easy out. Ditto for the Carolina Hurricanes. That's a really good team. And then the New York Islanders. Like, right before you make it to the Stanley Cup, like, if it's a video game, normally you fight the big boss right at the very end. It felt like they were fighting the big boss, you know, in the semifinal. This was anything other than an easy path to the Stanley Cup final for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Well, I believe I was on your show earlier in the playoffs, and we were talking, certainly at some point late in the season, we were talking about how the Central Division was quietly the best division in the
yes.
NHL this season.
Yes.
And I think you agreed with that, and I certainly, you know, I watch mostly the Central, but you know me, I watch a lot of games around the league, but it was highly competitive, and you got, and people are saying, well, Florida, come on. No, Florida was, it was no
They're
joke this season. Joel Quenneville's got that team turned around, and they're going to be a handful next season as well. That series went six. And that game one that the Lightning won in Sunrise in front of a loud, rowdy crowd, as loud and as full as I've ever seen that building in my time going in there, was a game that started at 60 miles an hour and got up to 80 about halfway through the first and never let up. It was fast. It was physical. It was a 5-4 final with point scoring with a minute to go. It was one of the wildest, one of the best games I've ever had the chance to broadcast, to tell you the truth. That is being totally honest. Brian Engblom said the exact same thing. That was a tester right out of the gate, and that's what Kucherov got dropped into, and he had 3 points. And so then they open up 2-0 on the road and win that one in six. Then they open up 2-0 on the road in Carolina, a team that had 3 regulation losses at home all season long, and they open up 2-0 there. And then, as you mentioned, they go in to face a very good, very prepared Islanders team and scratch and claw with those guys and that heavy, heavy, physical, intense series for 7 games. And the last, wow, and that was a 1-0 game as well. And that was a shorthanded goal. It was the only goal by Yanni Gourde. And that last 5 minutes was as intense a building atmosphere as I've ever been in. It was amazing. And, yeah, you're right. This was a battle-tested group that learned its lessons. You know, 2019 comes up an awful lot, but it is a big part of the DNA of who they are today. Big reason why they're back-to-back Stanley Cup champions after getting swept by Columbus after that 62-win season. They learned their lessons. They looked themselves in the mirror. They made some adjustments roster-wise, structure-wise, system-wise, and they always went back to it when you know, things were going sideways. And you've heard probably on all the videos you've seen of Cooper talking about trust the process. And his message worked because these guys truly believed in it. Whenever there was some adversity, and that game seven in the third round was adversity, first game seven they've had in 3 years, and they answered the bell, and they did so again here against a good Montreal team. I mean, let's tip the cap to these guys who, you know, started to plant a seed of doubt after game four. You know, we're still here, and listen, they only scored one goal last night, and it didn't come till over halfway through the game. So, you know, kudos to Montreal and their resiliency, and Carey Price, you know, standing tall the last two games. But in the end, it wasn't about who was the better team. We know who the better team is. Everybody knew that. It was a matter of whether you could get it done and whether the will and character and teamwork and chemistry and all this depth, all these things that we're talking about came together, and it did.
Julien Brisebois has got some serious business to attend to a lot sooner than later. So which of the UFAs can they, if any, bring back? And if not, what are they going to do to build this roster for next season?
Yeah, that's the question that's been kind of lingering around here. But, you know, for the most part, most people have just been focusing on, you know, what's been happening and enjoying and watching and analyzing what we're seeing. But there's no question, as we've already mentioned, you know, David Savard was a rental. Will he be back? And, you know, we've already talked about Goodrow and Coleman. And Tyler Johnson is a prime candidate to maybe, excuse me, get taken. You know, a guy from Spokane, maybe Seattle would have some interest in him. He was a great soldier this year. On waivers twice, this season, guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a 9-year member of the Lightning, former member of the famed triplet line, you know, a guy who's been with Cooper since they won a Calder Cup in 2012. Memorial Cup champion. You know, this guy has never drafted, and he's been just a real solid player here and you know, took his medicine, bumped down to the fourth line and just played and actually raised the level of that fourth line because of it. So, you know, will he be back? You know, with his salary, unlikely. We'll see. Will Pat Maroon be back for another go? You know, he's 33 now. You know, he's the game's faster and faster, and as much as he adds, they love him in the room, the chemistry part, all that kind of stuff. As you know, the game gets faster and faster each and every season. Will he be back for a fourth consecutive Stanley Cup somewhere? There's lots of questions around even some of the big names. Who knows, guys? But I do know that this is not coming as any surprise to Brisebois and his staff and Jamie Pusher and Al Murray. Al Murray's the wizard behind the scenes with, you know, yes. I'm sure Jeff knows him very well. Just great guy and an encyclopedia in terms of drafts and things like that. And, you know, you can thank him for Ross Colton and Matthew Joseph, Braden Point, you know. So this won't come as any surprise. I don't have any solid answers for you or theories for you, Anthony, right now at this point. But those are all the names, and they're going to have to do something, obviously, because, you know, now that the salary cap is in effect, they're a little bit over it, and they're going to have to see. It'll be interesting to see what takes place.
Buyout period, July 9th, expansion list deadline on the 16th, and we really get rolling. The offseason is on. Dave, wonderful catching up with you again. Boy, that was a fun run. It must have been great to be ringside for all of that. That's an experience that many broadcasters wish they'd have had, and you had it. Enjoy it. We understand that why your voice feels and maybe sounds a little bit raspy today. It's well worth it and well earned. Thanks, Dave. Good catching up, pal.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It has been special, and I appreciate it. And I've been honored to be asked to emcee the whole parade or the big celebration on Monday.
Oh, so, nice.
Thrilled. Yeah, I'm thrilled to be part.
Shirts are optional.
They've really welcomed me into this family, so I'm very, very grateful for it all.
Yeah, as Stewie says, shirts are optional. Does that include the host?
We'll see. I better start doing some crunches, Stewie.
Me too.
Thanks, Dave. You be good.
See you, boys.
There he is, Dave Randorf, play-by-play voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And you're right, Stewie, like, it's great. Celebrate. Enjoy all of it. And you're Julien Brisebois. It's business time. Like today, like you have buyout window starting tomorrow. You have expansion list to put together, to say nothing of your conversations with Ron Francis in Seattle to try to maneuver yourself into position so you don't lose someone that you don't want to lose. The expansion draft on the 21st, the NHL draft. I know Tampa's not a big player at the draft considering the picks that they've surrendered to get this team, but still, and then free agency gets underway on the 28th, and then trying to pretzel this team into becoming cap compliant. Busy offseason for the defending two-time Stanley Cup champions, but I'm sure they consider it well worth it. When we come back, we'll play part of that Nikita Kucherov legendary press conference from last night. It's an epic one. This is one that's going to be replayed over and over and over again, here and elsewhere. And going right into that first game next year, the Bell Center. Wait to see the schedule. When's Tampa going to Montreal? I look forward to that. We're talking Kucherov. What's next for the Montreal Canadiens as well? Hockey Central carries on. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back to the program here Monday to Friday at noon. Hockey Central, congratulations. Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup 1-0 last night is the final score. Ross Colton, congratulations. That's going on your wiki page forever. Jeff Merrick alongside Anthony Stewart. Want to get to what this means for the Montreal Canadiens next. And we talked about, you know, Stewie, you mentioned, you know, the challenges that Julien Brisebois, GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, has now before him starting this morning, although I'm sure plans have already been underway for a while now to get that ball rolling. But Montreal's got some plans as well, or should have some plans, and has some decisions to make. I want to get to that in a couple of seconds. In the meantime, Stewie, last night, your thoughts when you first saw, because I think we were all stunned, and the minute that he walks out with a tin of Bud Light and no shirt, you thought to yourself, this could be special. Your thoughts on the Nikita Kucherov presser that's made headlines ever since from last night.
That's the thing. As soon as I see Russian beer and no shirt, things are going left real quick. But, you know, we talk about we want to see more personality in the game. We want to see the players, you know, show a different side of themselves. And as soon as they win the biggest trophy in the world, it's like, well, no, you guys crossed the line. So I understand what they're talking about. You don't want to be taking shots at other fan bases, but just imagine the stress that these players have been under for the last 2 years and just the relief they're getting from winning that Stanley Cup. So you got to give him a pass. He just won the hardest trophy to win in pro sports, and he's having fun. So I think now it's drawing a lot of good attention to the game. I can understand the Montreal Canadiens fans being upset, but at the same time, I played with some Russian players over the years, and you mix a couple beers in with them, you know, that's very, very mild by my standards.
the Alexander Ovechkin Stanley Cup celebrations in the fountains at Bellagio are still fresh in everybody's
mind.
You couldn't
speak at the baseball game.
So good. Just buckle the whole summer. For those of you who have been living under a rock, listen, anyone that's listening to this hockey broadcast right now has seen/heard it. But that's not going to stop us from playing it again. This is Nikita Kucherov from last night postgame.
I don't know what to say. It's a fucking back-to-back, and I couldn't sleep for 3 nights. You know, and to be able to win this game is huge. Wesley was outstanding. MVP. I was telling him every day, Wesley, you MVP. You're the best player. And then they gave it to whatever the guy in Vegas, the Vezina. And then last year, they gave Vezina to somebody else. Number one bullshit. Wesley took both cups. You know, he took MVP, and I was keep telling him, he's MVP. He's the guy that he's the best. You know, he was on his head today, and you know, he kept us in the game, and another shout out for it by him. Remarkable. Can't even tell more. I'm so happy. I didn't want to go back to Montreal, but the fans in Montreal, come on. They acted like they won the Stanley Cup last game. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
John Romano, Tampa Bay Times.
Their final was last series. Okay.
The thing that makes that is right at the very end, when they're moving on to another question, but he's still not done, Stewie. He's got to get like one more shot in at the Montreal Canadiens fan base. I don't know what there's a lot of hit singles. I mean, that's Thriller. I mean, every second track is the number one. Like, that's the number one with a bullet. The stuff about Vasi, the stuff about win a game, stave off elimination, don't get swept, and you think you won the Stanley Cup, the number one BS, all of it. I mean, Stewie, you played. You have a greater appreciation for how different this is. I mean, players talk like this all the time, just never in front of cameras and never in front of microphones. What was the hit single for you coming out of that one?
Well, I'm trying not to get fined, so I'm just going to say all of it. All of it was great. But just keep in mind, too, English is his second language, and I'm not trying to, you know, speak on his behalf. And just imagine now you're very elated after winning the Stanley Cup. You have a couple beers, and then now you got to answer questions about exactly how you're feeling in your second language. When you have all those emotions flowing and it's not your native tongue, you're going to have some slip-ups. So I'm sure if Tampa Bay media is listening right now, they're probably going to take that and use that as an excuse. But, again, you got to give them a pass. They just won the most difficult trophy to win in pro sports. Give them a pass. Have some fun. But if this was Stamkos, I can understand, or an English-speaking as their first language. But chalk it up to the language barrier. Why not?
I don't know. Like, to me, what takes this to the next level is this is a superstar. Like, this is Nikita Kucherov. This isn't, you know, a fourth line player on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, Patrick Maroon to me is one of the best interviews in the game. He's one of the most entertaining guys to listen to. On the ice, his chirps are hilarious. Off the ice, his interviews are a must watch. But this isn't Pat Maroon saying that. This is Nikita Kucherov. This is Hart Trophy. This is, you know, 30 points in back-to-back Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, this is a superstar. Like, we've heard players, you know, on a lower rung on the hockey team ladder talk like this. But when's the last time you heard a star come out and just take a flamethrower out with them?
Yeah, I'm sure. If it was Big Rig, and Big Rig's been caught in a couple hot mics, Pat Maroon, over the years too. So I think the fact that is a superstar, I think that's why it's getting a little bit more traction too. But remember this, I keep going back to that Stanley Cup and how hard it is and just the moment of it. If he said this at the beginning of the season or after a second round win, I could understand the outrage. How come no one was talking about Deneau when he was eating the pizza after every series win? That was a little bit of a dig at the other team too. So I think there's a little bit of a double standard going on here. If it was at the timing of it, I got to give him a pass. Absolutely.
Okay, congratulations, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Big decisions on the horizon there. Big decisions on the horizon as well for the Montreal Canadiens. And I guess the question, if you're Marc Bergevin, you ask yourself is, how close are we? And that question, I think, is partially informed by the division they are returning to. So they're no longer part of the Scotia North. That does not exist anymore. They go back to a division that has Tampa, that has Boston, that has the Maple Leafs, that has a very much improved Florida Panthers squad. Yet this is a team that made it to the Stanley Cup final. And I don't know how to read into things as far as reaction when you lose. Brendan Gallagher was almost inconsolable. Shea Weber yesterday on the ice looked like, oh man, I got here and I don't know if I'm going to get here again. And I'm sure that that goes through a lot of players' minds when you lose the Stanley Cup, when you climb that mountain and you finally get there, especially when you're a Cinderella story like the Montreal Canadiens. The question you ask yourself is, did we just have a run? You know, like, you can make the argument that the St. Louis Blues just had a run. And I don't want to ever say that winning the Stanley Cup is a fluke, because you got to win four series. But the St. Louis Blues weren't that team before that little run and haven't been that team afterwards. So you got to think to yourself, if you're the Montreal Canadiens, how good are we? How close are we? And there are big decisions on the horizon. Are you bringing back Philip Deneau? You know, there was already, was it a 5x6 that they talked about at the beginning of the season? That didn't go anywhere. How many of the veteran guys are you bringing back? You know, we know that Nick Suzuki is going to have a much more prominent role. There are question marks about hard feelings, whatever, with Jesperi Kotkaniemi. I don't know, man. Like, if you're Marc Bergevin, what are you thinking about this team? Do you go out and make a bunch of moves and go for it again and risk part of the future? Or do you say, now this thing is being built around players like Nick Suzuki?
Well,
and that's what we need to do.
Well, after the year last year in the bubble, you know, they weren't considered contenders in any sense of the word. And Marc Bergevin went and had probably the most active free agency out of any of the teams in the whole entire league. You know, he brought in Toffoli. He traded for Anderson. He made some other big moves, brought in Edmondson too. So, yep. And that was them not even thinking they're contenders. So I think now that he probably has a longer leash, because remember, a lot of people were saying, oh, this is going to be his last year. I'm probably sure. Does he have another year or is he up now? Bergevin.
No, I think he has one. I think he has one more year, but they're talking extension.
Okay, but regardless, he's going to go out and make these moves because you have Carey Price, you have Sherratt, you have Shea Weber, and their window's closing, but it's not closed. So I think in these next 2, 3, 4 years, he's going to make a push. So I think the number one question for this team is Suzuki and number one. Can you pump him up to number one center, or you're going to have to go out in free agency and get one? But remember, before Suzuki and Deneau, when was the last time they had a number one center? And it's tough.
Oh, listen, and you throw Jesperi Kotkaniemi in there as well, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, remember we used to talk about Montreal and they used to have problems down the middle? You know, I think part of the reason, and this is why I brought up, you know, them going back to a division with Tampa and Boston and Toronto and Florida, et cetera. And listen, I think Ottawa is going to make some noise next year too. Let's not forget about the Ottawa Senators. I think they went out partially and made all those moves, Bergevin did, because he said to himself, look, this is an opportunity here. We're going to the Scotia North Division. You know, we have the chance here in a weaker division than we were in last season. If we're going to go for it and maximize what we have in Shea Weber, who's 35 years old, and Carey Price, who's 33 years old, this was the season to do it. And they almost did. Like, they went to the Stanley Cup Final, bowed out to the defending champs. That's tough, but that Tampa team's amazing. They almost pulled it off, Stewie. That's why I said, like, they're going back to a tougher division. I think that the Bergevin decisions last summer were informed by them going into a perceived weaker division, but next year they're going into a tougher one. Yep. And that's what I wonder about, too. Like, how does that inform the decisions of the month? Like, we know that, to your point, Suzuki's going to have a bigger presence and a bigger role next season. Cole Caulfield is going to have a bigger role and a bigger presence on this team. I just don't know where Bergevin's at on how you're going to fill the remainder of the roster around them, specifically if Deneau tests free agency.
Yeah, and again, I think compared to other teams, filling out this roster won't be too bad. They potentially have to fill a number one center role, but, you know, got depth guys. They got guys like Stahl for cheap. They got Perry for cheap. Maybe Perry re-signs. So I think compared to other teams, filling out this roster is not going to be that difficult, because this strength for this team is defense and goaltending. And they have some young stars that are emerging, budding superstars. So I think Bergevin's going to be active, but I don't think this team needs as many finishing touches as people think. But that number one center, you go to market, how are you really going to find that guy? They've still been trying to get Vinny LeCavalier now. He's been retired for 5 years. They still want him. So it's going to be tough.
Did you see how great he looked,
though?
Oh, man,
I'm never going out in public again. People, have you seen him? He looks like he's still playing.
He looks amazing. LeCavalier looks great. Like, yeah, sure. Like,
he doesn't look a day over 31.
If I'm Bergevin, I'm calling like, hey, buddy, how's your cardio? Because you look great.
How's your face off? Talk to Ziggy.
you got any power in that stride still?
But honestly, what do you think? Do you see them taking that big of a major fall next year, where they go from winning going to the finals this year to falling completely out of the playoff picture this next season? I don't see it.
I could see it. Could see it. Tampa, Boston, Toronto, Florida.
They beat them. They beat them all.
I didn't beat Tampa. Didn't get a chance against Boston. They did beat Toronto. They didn't get a chance against the Florida Panthers.
They need a little bit more scoring touch. Get some scoring touch. But the thing is, right now, the market's very, very thin. You're not going to get a Taylor Hall. You know, can you pay for a Zach Hyman? Do you need a Zach Hyman? No. So I think they need some scoring touch, and it's going to be very, very tough to find that on the market. It's going to be tough to find that this year on the market.
They do need goals. And we should point at Dom Ducharme yesterday post-game. Shea Weber thumb, Petrie finger, Toffoli groin, and Gallagher groin. There was that play towards the end of the game last night where Gallagher went hard to the net and just crumbled.
Ouch.
And you could tell it's a groin issue, and you're just like, oh my God, this guy is wrecking his body trying to keep his team alive.
I think the groin is the most painful injury, and I got my groin injury because when I went to Russia, one of my blades, the sharpener guy, sharpened it a quarter of an inch shorter than the other one. So I literally had a tear in my groin. Yeah, those Russian trainers, yeah. And it's the most painful thing where every single day they used to come by a needle. I'm like, no. So I had to play with a slight tear in my groin for about 2 months. So it's a tough injury. And I cannot imagine trying to go a full playoff series, four playoff rounds with a torn groin or groin injury. It's tough. It's very, very tough.
Listen, it's hard. There's nothing worse than like getting that close and losing, but chin up, man. What a great run.
Future's bright. Come Montreal on. Canadiens. Future's bright.
There's a lot of great few. I think Jake Evans is a great story too. Cole Caulfield, great story. Nick Suzuki, great story. I still think that Jesperi Kotkaniemi is going to be a real good player for a long time. And there's like Alexander Romanov. It's going to be a good player for this team for a long time. There are great stories in Montreal. I just wonder, because you have to get everything hitting at the same time. Like your veterans productive, your kids that are still on entry level deals, producing, and it's all got to click for it to happen. And I don't know whether there's just too much of a gap for the Montreal Canadiens right now. And it's got to be a weird way you're torn if you're Marc Bergevin. Which way do we go with this Montreal team? We're heavy on time. Got to hit a break. More Hockey Central in moments. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hockey Central returns in a moment. Okay, Stewie, so we got a hot 60 left here and probably not enough time to do this, but the show continues for the next few weeks, so we'll get into it a little bit deeper. But this is poised to be the summer of the blockbuster, and our eyes are always on Jack Eichel, and surprise, surprise, Vegas is in there. Johnny Gaudreau, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Seth Jones, and now you can add Vladimir Tarasenko. According to Jeremy Rutherford's piece in The Athletic yesterday, he has requested a trade. This going to be the blockbuster offseason? And if so, I would imagine, Stewie, that it all happens real fast.
Absolutely. And they're all coming to Toronto. That's what all the fans think there. But I think with Tarasenko, I followed him closely, ex-teammate of my brother. And this guy is still a 35, 40 goal guy as long as he stays healthy. So there's going to be some health questions, but whoever gets him is going to get a high quality, motivated player because he's a hardworking, motivated guy. And he's a player that I think can help take your team over the top if you need a top six winner.
Tricky contract, though. The money that he's getting is actually higher than the cap hit.
Oh, what?
That makes it tricky. Julien Brisebois, come on. On behalf of Anthony Stewart, Jeff Merrick signing off. Thanks for joining us. Congrats, Tampa. Looks great on you.